It's 107.7 The Bone. Baby Huey riding solo. Unfortunately, as you guys know, Chas has been out the last couple of days. She's been sick, but I could not pass up this opportunity to talk to one of my favorite bands, the guys in Coheed and Cambria. How's it going, guys?
Good. Yeah.
Awesome. Got Claudio, Josh, also Zach and Travis. Guys, thank you again for making the time today. And I'm really stoked. So tonight, the Fox in Oakland, which I got to admit, I think that is probably my favorite venue in the entire Bay Area. It's just gorgeous. They remodeled it within the last like 10 years. So I'm stoked to see you guys play that stage. It's just all the great bands come to town, play there. So, and I'm also excited because as you guys were wondering, so I'm going tonight. My date for the night is going to be Matt Pinfield. And so I know you guys just did an interview with Matt. And so all week, Matt's been like, Danny, you got to come with me to the show tonight. You got to go. And I said, of course I want to go. And so he's telling me all these stories about you guys. And so how far back you go with Matt? Apparently, like, did he sign you guys? What's the whole deal there?
Yes, Matt picked up Coheed and Cambria on our second record with Equal Vision and brought us to Columbia.
Nice.
You know, so Matt signed us.
That is really cool. Now, I'm really excited to hang out with him tonight and just see his face because I know you guys are going to be playing Good Apollo number one in its entirety tonight. Is that true?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No, what made you guys want to do that, just do the whole album for this tour?
You know, we've been doing these things called Neverender.
Okay.
It's like a concert series where we sort of tribute, whether it's a few records or one record. And it came time to sort of do it for Good Apollo.
Okay.
That's like been about 12 years, I guess, now.
Yep.
It was due.
Nice. So I'm looking forward to it. And also, I will admit.
It was due. That's a good answer.
Well, no, so guys, here's the thing. So finally, I was able to see you guys live about a year and a half ago at the Aftershock Festival up in Sacramento. And
oh, I remember that.
Yeah, so that's like, it's becoming like, God, it's been like the last few years now they've been putting them on. And it's turning into arguably like the biggest festival on the West Coast. So
that's one of the best festival shows we ever played. Because festivals can sometimes be, for any band, not just us, like kind of a mixed bag.
Yes.
And Aftershock was one of, we walked off stage and was like, we were like, that was the best festival show we ever played.
Well, so for
amazing.
Me, well, what happened was I was backstage in the press area doing a bunch of interviews. And so I was just tired because I've been in the sun all day. But then I heard you guys were coming on and I was like, I cannot miss them. So
awesome.
I dropped everything. I told my guys, watch the equipment, and I jetted off and I ran out there and you guys just blew me away. You were like the highlight definitely of that first day.
Awesome,
I think
dude.
You and Breaking Benjamin that day were just killer, but just the whole crowd was just headbang, especially during Welcome Home. And I was like, oh, this is incredible. So thank you guys, just because I was like drained that day, but you guys revived me that night.
Brought you back to life.
Absolutely. So
well, thank you for the kind words. That's awesome, man.
Thank you. So it's, I noticed though, in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of festivals popping up here in the U.S. And instead of like, for example, like Mayhem Festival, which has come and gone, why are all these festivals, why is this trend happening in America now? Is it because they see the success overseas? They're like, oh, hey, let's try to capitalize on that. And for you guys,
I always thought that had to be a big kind of component, right?
Yeah, because everyone, like for years, like all the great hard rock and metal bands I love were always like, oh, we play our shows overseas. It's just better crowds over there. And I was like, what's wrong with America, man? And so
there's like festival season overseas.
Yeah. Okay.
They have all the different countries, tons and tons of festivals. And about a few years ago, we even said, we're like, God, there's a lot more festivals in the U.S., I just thought that there was, you know, from a purely monetary standpoint, the people that make those decisions and are in this to make money say, oh, well, there's a business model that's working. Let's bring it over here. And I'm psyched for it. I like festivals. I think it's cool when you get a bunch of bands together, all kind of an eclectic lineup. And as long as nobody gets hurt and everybody's good to one another and we don't see anything like, I think Woodstock 99 kind of scared a lot of people as far as festivals in the United States.
All the fires.
Yeah, fires and really people behaving awfully and hurting each other. I was there and it really scared me. It was on an army base. It was just strange. But anytime there's a big festival, Coachella is a huge one, obviously. So I think it's just
outside lands here in San Francisco. So a lot of good stuff coming up.
There's a ton of them. But yeah, I hope it continues. I hope that we keep having festivals with no big problems and nobody gets hurt and people can come out and enjoy music and enjoy the weather and have a great time.
That's really cool. And so also I've noticed, so with Good Apollo number one, you guys have released a double vinyl. Is that true? I saw that. And you can do pre-order. So this is the first time it's going to be released on vinyl?
Yep, it will be the first time. Yeah.
And so is there a record store day exclusive?
There is a record store day exclusive. There's going to be a tour exclusive and just a standard edition.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Also, you guys are doing the 12-issue comic book as well. And is that, when's that coming? Is that already out now?
Well, the first issue actually dropped about 2 weeks ago. It's 12 issues, so every month there'll be an issue that gets released. But yeah, it's 12 issues. And eventually, you know, after that cycle is done, there'll be a collected edition.
Nice. That's really cool. And so this is a separate story that you created, Claudio, as far as it has nothing to do with like any of the albums per se, but it's just a separate story, but in relation to those albums?
Yeah. It's part four. It's the first volume of that chapter of the Amory Wars, and the Amory Wars kind of runs through all of the records. You know, it's basically the story of Coheed and Cambria.
That's really cool. And with you guys doing Good Apollo live tonight at the Fox is, I know a lot of bands have been doing that, going back to like some of their groundbreaking or like most popular albums. For you guys, you think that's a cool trend just going on? A lot of bands just doing that?
I mean, yeah, I think so. I mean, for us, it was an idea we came up with, I don't know how many years ago when we did it, you know, four nights. At the time, we only had four records. Mm-hmm. So we did four nights, four cities, and we tributed those albums, you know, Second Stage to Good Apollo to No World for Tomorrow. And we had so much fun doing it that, you know, we thought it'd be, you know, be right for us to do it for every record, you know, when a 10-year anniversary came about or in any sort of capacity. But yeah, I think it's smart for bands to do, you know, if I were to just like think of it outside of Coheed.
I think it's also worth mentioning too. This is a concert series. This is a long running thing that Coheed has done.
Okay.
It's not, you know, it's far beyond just like, oh, let's go play our popular record front to back. This is our third Neverender series as far as a touring thing goes. Mm-hmm. They did the Second Stage one in Keeping Secrets and now Good Apollo, and they'll continue to go on. So it's a whole concert series, cool. Mm-hmm. Not just like a one-shot thing. But, yeah, also what Claudio said.
Now, for all of you guys, was it tough to kind of relearn some of these songs that you might have never or haven't played in a long time? Was it just
Oh, no,
tough?
Some of them we've never played live, I think. And, yeah, some of that's tough. I think, you know, also, it's been 12 years, so it's like a time capsule going back and kind of, as a player, you know, remembering what you played on that record and kind of, you know, things jog your memory. You say, oh, I remember why I played it like this. Or, oh, that's right. It's this little thing. And that's part of the fun. That's part of the challenge, and that's what makes it interesting and unique.
Now, reflecting on it, since it's been 12 years, the album, does it mean something different to you guys now? Or, I mean, like, compare it to when you first released it, like, when you re-listen to it now, you're like, you kind of a different take on the whole thing?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if I could be any more disconnected from
It was so specific to what you were going through, and it was troubled waters. So, I mean, but I think all, you know, when we did In Keeping Secrets, Neverender, those songs, I can certainly, you know, apply them to my life now as a 37-year-old, 36 when we did that one, but adult male. So I think we were talking about this before with Matt, too. Mm-hmm. You were in the room, Danny. About how music can evolve and kind of change the way you connect to it can evolve and change. And I think that's certainly true with your own music as well as the stuff that you listen to.
For me, it's really cool that you guys are doing this. I think for fans who haven't heard some of these songs live before, now have the opportunity to. What night of the tour is this? Is this already, you said this is the third night?
Third show.
How have the other couple nights have gone so far?
Awesome. It's been great.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So in the Bay Area, just in general, what's it like for you guys to come play here? Because I know you're here, I believe, last year, but just good feelings of just playing in the Bay Area overall over the years for
you?
Oh,
sure, yeah. Me and Travis were talking before about Slims, playing in San Francisco, Slims, and then Bottom of the Hill. You know, we couldn't believe it when we did two nights in a row at Bottom of the Hill. We were like, what? What is this? And Slims to us was like a giant club, you know, and a really great club. They always treated us great. Same thing with Bottom of the Hill. There's like an extra thing that makes it special is my uncle John, who's here with us in the studio.
But great John the Baker,
John the
legendary.
Baker, yeah, the legendary John the Baker lives here. So when we come in, we know we're going to see John. You know, it's very few and far between that he doesn't come out when we're in town. So that makes it extra special. But the fans here, I mean, it's going to be amazing tonight at the Fox Theater. It's a big place.
Yes.
And, you know, it's close to sold out. And it's going to be a big show. And I'm glad that we get a chance to let our art connect with the fans here and share that with them.
That's really cool. And just a couple things more I just wanted to ask is, so when you guys were listening to this record again, did it kind of inspire you to maybe, as far as moving forward with the band, as far as creating new music? You're like, oh, that was really cool when I did that back in the day. Kind of creatively inspire you to write some new music?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for me, when I first revisited the material, it was when I sat at Sterling Sound for the mastering of the vinyl. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard the record sound so good. You know, it's like, You have a treated room, awesome. Speakers that probably cost like $16,000 a piece. You know, it's it was a special moment for me because it made me realize like how ambitious that album was for us. You know, and maybe at that time I didn't think about it like that, but it was a special moment. I really loved listening to it, and I'll never get to hear that album again like that because those speakers are expensive. Excuse my mouth, but
it's a one-shot deal, though. You'll never hear it for the first time like that again.
You're always like, man, I need to. How do I? When you're in the process of writing a record, it's like you want to be as objective as possible, but there's no way you can do that.
Of course. Yeah.
And finally, so much time has gone by that it's like, okay, this is that objective. You know, I finally have it.
You finally have at least a good chunk of it, and you know, you get to hear it as an outsider, which we always talk about. That's awesome, though. I want to sit in that studio and listen to the record. Damn it. I'm jealous.
Real quick, I just want to ask Osco, I love your guys' video for You Got Spirit, Kid. Just wondering who came up with the concept and how that all come together.
I can't remember. I think it was the
director and their company had this funny idea. And of course, they wanted Claudio to be the naked guy.
How'd you end up being that way?
No, the whole band was like, oh, Josh will do it. And I was like, oh, the hell with it. I'll do it.
Nice.
Then you get naked in front of, 300 strangers and you're like, oh, what did I get myself into?
It's like the nightmare that comes true.
You know what made it worse is like, there's some law that you actually can't be butt naked. So they gave me this, like, it looked like a cut off piece of pantyhose.
Yeah, like a flash color.
Made it more embarrassing to try to cover yourself up and you're running and your wiener's flapping out. And it's like, it would have just been better to be butt naked because it's like, screw it. But there's some kind of law that, and in a school, you can't be a grown man naked, which probably is a good law. I'm down with the law. But it was funny. You know what? We had a really good time making that video. And we've kind of, in the history of Coheed, we've made some funny videos and aren't always like mega serious. So we had a really good time doing it. Yeah. Our manager, Blaze James, kind of got to do a cameo in it. And it was a real blast. Nothing but fond memories. It was awesome.
That's cool. So last thing also, what's next for you guys for 2017, the rest of the year? I heard you kind of hint with Matt that you're working on some new songs, but it's going to go back also to the concept as well?
Yeah, the next record will definitely go back to the concept, but I don't think we're, there's definitely material there to draw from. It's just, I don't know if it's right. Josh might disagree.
I just like the songs you sent me, but there's stuff floating around.
There's ideas. I mean, right now I think the focus is to try to execute Never Ender with as much focus as possible.
Sure,
And then, come out of that and see where we're at.
Awesome. So we end our interviews on this last question. Normally Chasta, who's my partner in crime for our interviews, unfortunately she's been sick the last couple of days. So I'll ask it for her favorite movie is Almost Famous. Mm-hmm. And the last scene in the movie, the kid asked the rock star, what do you love about music?
I love, for me personally, I can only answer for myself. What I love about music is its power to speak to you, the power to help you kind of formulate how you feel and figure things out. And to me, that's been a really powerful force in my life. Music is in my blood, my family, I'm an Epard, and music is such a big part of our DNA that, I mean, I couldn't imagine life without music. So I think that answers the question.
Yeah, no, it's always cool.
Yeah. I would have to agree with Josh. I mean, it's a voice. It gives me a voice, I don't think I'm necessarily the greatest speaker, very awkward and insecure at a lot of moments in time, but I think music sort of empowers me, allows me to have a voice in situations that I don't necessarily have one.
That's cool. What about you guys?
I mean, I think since very early on, because I grew up around a lot of music, musicians, et cetera, but the feelings that it could, provoke, that music provokes in you, the different emotions and stuff like that, that's what always turned me on.
That's really cool. Awesome.
I think for me, it's all of what the rest of the guys said, but also there's an element of like the personal connections that you make through music. Friends, when you have something in common with the music you like, or the guys you play with, you make friends.
Make brothers.
Yeah, for sure. And then
connection.
Now, like, I have that with my daughter. Like, we listen to records together, so there's this connection with music, That's my favorite thing.
That's a great, great answer.
That's awesome. Well, guys, hey, listen, thank you so much for making the time today. I look forward on seeing you guys tonight at the Fox in Oakland, being Matt Pinfield's date for tonight.
And got a hot date.
Absolutely. He puts out, too, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, goes without saying, yeah, of course.
So encourage everyone out there, go get Good Apollo Volume 1. It's on the double vinyl issue. Go to your local record store. I can't stress that enough. I tell everyone, go to your local record store, especially a lot of good spots here in the Bay Area. Support our local record stores and buy it. And looking forward to new music in the near future. And, yeah, thank you again, guys. It's a real honor, and I'll see you tonight.
Thanks, Ooh, baby awesome. Huey.
Thank you.